B-Pod Studios.
30 minutes. There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. It's a real nightmare.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
30 minutes. There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marchand around to check, out at center ice, flips it up the middle and down, and it won't go far enough for icing.
Yeah, Perron was able to get there ahead of David Krejci.
Great touch, though, from Marchand. Held in by Marchand. Shoots, he scores!
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Game two of the Stanley Cup Final. You can't put an S on it. It's like RBI. It insists upon itself. Anyway, that said, 8 o'clock tonight here. And the pregame starts at 7:30. And we're proud to have Tony Loughman. He's from the NHL Network. And you can watch him on NHL Tonight, which will air live before and after every Stanley Cup final game on the NHL Network. Tony joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Tony. Are you broadcasting outside tonight?
Yes, that will be the plan. And I got to tell you, it's an honor to be on with you guys. Dave Gosher is one of my best friends, and Gosh Goes to the Movies is my favorite thing I've ever heard on radio.
I mean, the guy is a star. He gets in the booth, and it was like one of the easiest bits we've ever had to record. He just took a look at the movie, and he can narrate The Karate Kid like nobody's business.
Well, and he can also relate to the volleyball scene in Top Gun, because I don't think Gosher is a stranger to wearing jeans and no shirt and just going out there and playing with the boys.
Like Maverick, that's right.
All right.
So, the toast at my wedding, and that's my second favorite thing he's ever done. Number one is Gosh Goes to the Movies, and the Rocky III sprinting on the beach scene is my all-time favorite.
Wait, so he made a speech at your wedding? He was your best man?
Yes, he's amazing. I love him like a brother. And honestly, as proud as I was of what he said at the wedding, number one is still Gosh Goes to the Movies.
So he's loving Vegas, right? I mean, as much as obviously everyone loved him when he was in Boston, I mean, Vegas, he's a star, right?
He is. It's unbelievable. I feel great for him. Obviously, when he went there, I said, gosh, I wonder if they're going to be good. You know, expansion teams rarely succeed early on. And there they are last year in the Cup Final, and I gave him a big hug when we met each other on media day, and I'm happy for him and for his wife. They're having a great time out there, and yes, he is a star. The way that that community has embraced that team is amazing.
And the prostitutes just got a little richer.
Wow.
Yeah, we love going.
He's pumping money back into into the economy.
Stepping back, and just from a national perspective, we're sitting here watching this game, and it's felt, game one felt a lot like the series against the Hurricanes, where it just seemed like when all is lost, it's almost like there's a button that the Bruins can press where it's just the stop messing around button. And like the rust was knocked off in that first period. And we mentioned it, like everyone but Grizzlick had a shot on goal. And it just seems like they're outmatched. We all jumped to conclusions after one game. What's your opinion of what you saw in game one?
Exactly what you guys said. Once the rust was knocked off after the first period, the shot differential, it was 18-3. Everybody keeps talking about that in the second period, how the Bruins were buzzing. The coolest stat I've seen is that in the time it took the Bruins to score three goals, the visitors had three shots on goal. So it is like they flipped a switch, and all of a sudden they were at a whole different level. And at the other end of the rink, what Tuukka Rask has done, his save percentage is .900 or better in the first 18 games of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The last goalie to do that was Jonathan Quick, 2012, when he won the Conn Smythe and the Kings won the Cup. I think the parallels are very, very strong.
All right, what do you know about St. Louis that can improve in game two? What weren't they doing in game one that surprised you?
I think they didn't play their game, and they said that. Each guy that you talked with, starting with Petrangelo, the captain, said, we have to get to our game. We liked our start, but we got away from it. And I think the Bruins played a heavier game. It's interesting because you look at the back end. Scott Stevens at NHL Network has talked time and again about just how physical and imposing the Blues back line is. But we think about the Torrey Krug hit. He's all of 5'9". We've all seen him up close. He played with such reckless abandon. All the Bees did. They were the aggressor. If St. Louis is to get back in it, they have to play their style. They don't have as much talent as the Bruins do, but they don't have as much talent as Winnipeg, and they beat Winnipeg. They have to play that grinding style. If Vince Dunn comes back, I think he helps them on the back end, but I don't know, as you guys pointed out, if they have enough. It did look like the Eastern Conference Final, and we know that the Canes were totally overmatched.
The Blues defense corps is very large, and the Bruins forwards are very quick. That's not going to change tonight. How do the Blues make up for that? You can't hit what you can't catch.
Exactly. That's why speed is so important, and that's the change in the NHL. And full credit to Bruce Cassidy. I don't know that he's gotten enough credit. The adjustment that he made when the Bergeron line wasn't really buzzing, he made the move, and Achari and his guys, they were going. Sean Corrali, I had a great talk with Achari yesterday after the morning skate. I think it's so special when you have guys that appreciate what it is. You know, Dave grew up loving the Boston Bruins. Achari, he was talking about the 2011 Bruins like a fan because he was a fan. We know Grizzlick went to the parade. These guys get what it is to wear the eight-spoke B, and to see him and the rest of these guys succeed the way they are, it's really, really emotionally gratifying.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, when you look at that, when you look at the two goals that were scored, I mean, they weren't really forced. I mean, especially the Pastrnak one, that was self-inflicted. That was just a dumb move, and you're probably not going to see that often. On top of that, the first line, you know, disappointing in game one. When you have a line that powerful, that's been this good all year long, one of the best lines in hockey, and they still haven't woken up, it just kind of, you just kind of scratch your head and go, how are they going to be able, how is St. Louis going to be able to combat this in game two?
And it reminds me of the Columbus series where the Bees top line wasn't putting up big numbers for four or five games. This is such a deep team. Don Sweeney, I talked with him in the airport after last summer's draft, and I was so taken aback by his demeanor. There is a cool, calm, steady demeanor about him. We think back to the first draft he had where they had picks 13, 14, and 15. You got to Brusque, but he's had misses. But boy, has he since then had a whole lot of hits. Good decisions, great depth. I don't see a weakness. In fact, one thing that I've been talking to people about is how would you compare this team and the 2011 team if somehow in a computer simulation video game, if you got to play them, who would win? It'd be a fascinating game to watch.
Is this one of the stranger postseasons that you remember? I mean, you think about it. You have a historic team in Tampa Bay just get knocked out of that first round. You've got the returning champs, first round, out. And then you've got things like a very lopsided Eastern Conference final where one team just dominates the other one. How strange is this compared to the other postseasons that you remember?
Absolutely shocking, and it's why Charles Barkley is a huge hockey fan. He has said time and again that he doesn't know what's coming in hockey, and he loves that. He pretty much knows every year which teams are going to go to the conference finals and pretty much who's going to go to the NBA finals. I heard you guys talking NBA before I came on. What we love about our game is the unscripted drama. It's the best reality show, and full credit to Kevin Weeks. You mentioned the Tampa Bay upset. The fact that they had such a great regular season, tied for the most wins ever in a regular season, and get bounced in a sweep in the first round by Columbus, he predicted that Boston was going to come out of the East. I got to be totally honest. I didn't predict that at all. I would have bet my house that the Tampa Bay Lightning would go to the Stanley Cup final. Weeksy saw it coming. Weeksy really knows the game.
Well, that's crazy because, I mean, this is a perfect case of a team, everyone clicking at just the right time. Because, I mean, it wasn't until near the very end of the season that all four lines became these became offensively prolific. And then all of a sudden you've got, you know, the injuries people were, it was very strange. It was almost like the timing was perfect with this team to peak at the very right moment.
I'm a big fan of John Wooden. His pyramid of success at the top of it is competitive greatness. He said that the best competitors have a real love for a hard battle and they're at their best when their best is needed. We know the Bees are on an 8-game winning streak. You go back to 70 and 72, those teams, which every Bruins fan knows when they look up at TD Garden, they see those banners. They went on long winning streaks in their cup runs, nine games or more. I feel like this team not only has that it quality that champions have, but an incredible level of confidence. I interviewed Clifton yesterday. Look at his story. What an unbelievable – he has two goals ever as an NHLer, and he had the one that made it 2-1 that really started to turn the tide. It just has a feel. We were talking about Rocky III earlier. It has a feel of like a Rocky movie where this team really is destined to win it all.
All right, here's a completely random question for you, because there's a picture going around that's pretty great. You know, the members of the 2011 Bruins Stanley Cup winning team were the banner captains, and either before or after the game, the members of the 2011 team, including the current guys like Char and Patrice Bergeron, they all took a photo together. And I'm looking at it and I'm wondering, do you have any idea what's going on with Tim Thomas right now?
No, and I talked with one of our researchers at NHL Network about that exact topic, because we were talking about the parallel between Rask and Thomas. The three times the Bees have gone to the Cup Final this decade, they've had a goalie post a save percentage better than .940. And we were wondering, where is Tim Thomas right now? What's going on? He was always a unique guy. Weeks he's a goalie, and he always cringes when we talk about goalies being unique birds, but I can't think of a more unique bird than Tim Thomas. I have no idea where he is.
Yeah, you don't want to find out, probably. That's by design.
Right, he's living off the land.
I don't know.
In like some hole in Montana.
Some mountain. Yeah, there's a lot of ammo where he is.
Yeah.
You're not walking up that door without a barrel of
posted
an AK in your
keep
face.
Out sign.
I just imagine him just like in just a bunch of like like blankets, walking out to a river and just reaching his hand and pulling out a fish and then just eating it just like raw.
Yeah. I see him taking an AK and just shooting the water.
That is funny.
Tony Loveman, now is Jaffe, Billy Jaffe, allowed to sit with you guys? Or is it,
put him over at the kids' table to the left.
Right.
The kids' table.
No kidding. I told my wife when I came to Boston, I had to go have the buffalo chicken nachos at Fours. I'm sitting at Fours. I'm all excited. I'm eating the buffalo chicken nachos before game one. It's a few hours away. And Barry Melrose comes over, and we work together. So he said, I see you. You're sitting with all your friends. And then he leaves, and another patron comes up. He saw that Barry talked to me, and he saw my pass at NHL Network. He goes, are you Billy Jaffe? And I said, no, I'm not Billy Jaffe. But I do work for NHL Network. And he goes, I could have sworn you were Billy Jaffe. So I hear that quite often. And I told Billy a little bit later that night, he is hysterical. That guy is such a beauty.
Is there a higher compliment than being Billy Jaffe physically?
Not in Boston, right?
The man fought a bear.
I love him.
He's the Jewish Davy Crockett. He gets out there and he gets an edge.
All right, Davy Crockett.
I don't know. I couldn't think of anyone bigger. Tony Loveman. NHL Network, you can watch him on the NHL Tonight, which will air live before and after every Stanley Cup final on the NHL Network.
We'll leave you with a favorite, all right?
All right. Thank you so much for the time, and here is something for you.
Thank you.
It's been a tough time for Rocky after Mickey rolled a 7 during the loss to Clubber Lang, and now he's turned to his oldest rival, Apollo Creed, two of the great heavyweights of all time. And after a difficult start to training, Rocky has now decided that it's time for a swim. And now Rocky and Apollo sprinting on the beach, running to who knows where, older now but still running against the wind. Their training outfits are interesting. Very tight tank tops and very tight and way too short shorts. They're running now in slow-mo, and Rocky pulls away for the win at the finish line, now frolicking in the surf in a lovely warm embrace in the California sun. Things are getting weird. Is this still a Rocky movie?
There you go. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. There you go.
That picture is great, by the way, the one of like the old team together. And I just keep thinking to myself, I mean, Tim Thomas just like walked into smoke and disappeared.
That's what he wanted.
I guess.
I mean, that's what he wanted.
I mean, is my memory like painting pictures, or do we know that he moved to Montana?
I don't know if it's Montana.
You know people like this. He doesn't want you to know where he is. I mean, he wants to be off the grid.
Because this would be the time everyone would be reaching out to him to see what he has to say. I mean, the Bruins are back in the final. You want to hear what he has to say, and, you know, he would be a perfect guest to have on. So I got to think that everyone's looking for him and no one can find him.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's what he wants.
They had Tim Thomas hockey camp signs up at that place in Saugus, Hockeytown USA, for like 5 years after he left. I think it's gone now, finally. But it was like Tim Thomas hockey camp.
I don't know if that means Tim Thomas has to be there.
Maybe you're right.
You just get the names. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Tub app. Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What a matchup here for the World Karate Championship between Danielson and Johnny. Arnold slash Mr. Miyagi is ringside. Johnny has just taken a pop right in the nose, and Sensei is encouraging him to sweep the leg. He's going to try and sweep the leg with a vicious cheek shot, and he does. And Danielson is down on the canvas. Danielson now with a crane kick to the head of Johnny, and Johnny's down and out, and Danielson is the World Karate Champion.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We got an email saying the person knew where Tim Thomas lives, and I'm not giving the city because I don't want him killing me. But Idaho, if that would. And that doesn't surprise.
Well, James Stewart just retweeted my thing. I tweeted out the photo. You go to @Toucher and Rich. And I was just like, I love that. It's a great picture of them from Monday. I think it was before the game. They all got together, the members of the 2011 Bruins, all the people who were there. And I was like, I wonder where the hell Tim Thomas went. And James Stewart said, in a bunker in Idaho.
Yep. So it's right.
And I didn't, I mean, that I thought I kind of remembered him going there, but I mean, just to completely disappear like that and to be such a star in this town.
Oh, okay. So he went to Colorado, which is where a lot of the people like that go. And, and then the elevation got to him, I'm being told.
Okay. So this is all right. This is maybe something I need to pull up because there was a podcast that Andrew Ferentz did for Sportsnet up in Canada, and they talked to Andrew Ferentz. And he told them that Tim Thomas moved from Colorado to Idaho, they said possibly due to health issues related to altitude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but still, just no one's heard anything from him.
You moved to Idaho. You don't move to rural Idaho to be found.
Jeez, these guys didn't age either. I mean, the 2011 team.
Some of them age. The ones that didn't. Like Ferentz is never going to age.
Yeah, Ferentz like lives that completely super duper healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, he's like vegan and like rides bikes 500 miles a day.
Right, he doesn't plug in anything. It seems like I mean he's like he's going to always look young. But I mean, you know, Chris Kelly I guess isn't too old. He looks good. Michael Ryder looks fine.
They all look fine.
Although Ryder always looked old.
Like he
always
Ryder looks old in that picture.
But he's always looked old.
First of all, they're not even old. Those guys, I mean, they're not like they're probably not even my age. They're certainly not Wallach's age.
Seidenberg's older. Seidenberg was older than Chara, I believe. I think he was older than Chara by like 2 years.
In so he's my age. In 2011, I was 36. So who was 36 on that team?
And Sean looks like Sean. You know, Sean Thornton's still the same.
I got news for you. Seidenberg's 5 years younger than Chara.
Is he really? For some reason, I always thought he was older.
Like, he's 37.
Okay, well, then he's
you want to reassess?
Yeah. I always thought he was older than Chara for some reason.
Nope.
Well, I guess not.
No. See, yeah, they're not, like, old.
Jeez, so Chara is still the oldest guy in this picture? Is he older than Sean Thornton?
That's a good question.
That's
gonna be close.
Because I'm looking at this 2011 reunion. I wonder if Chara is still the oldest.
I bet you he is because Sean was always younger than
Thornton's
I thought he was.
41.
Yep, yeah. He's still older. What about Michael Ryder?
Oh, he's older than Ryder. There's no way Ryder played. Unless
Ryder's 39.
Yeah, unless Ryder was in the minors for 500 years. Yeah. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
First off, I just want to say I love you. I watch the traffic. Secondly, I was down in Tampa back in 2018 randomly for a funeral, and I was at this Mexican bar, and I had a Bruins shirt on, whatever. And the guy goes, "Oh, you're a Bruins fan?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "Hey, I'm Tim Thomas's brother." I was like, "Now you're lying." And he showed me his ID. He showed me his pictures. And we were talking. He was saying that, you know, Thomas is in Idaho and lives in a, I guess, a family farm, and he's doing great. So that's the story he told me. But I actually met his brother. So just wanted to clarify it.
All right. So there you go. Further information. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, I know, so a lot of other shows around town talk about the text line, and I know you guys really don't do that. But
no, because it was, the text line was just, I can't describe to you how awful it was. it was just death threats and dumb crap that we just didn't want to deal with. No one at the station wanted to deal with it anymore. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, and then every once in a while you'll bring up, "Oh, we got an email," and I'm like, "Oh, what? Wait a minute, we can email you guys?"
Yes, you can email, because I don't respond to the Twitter stuff. And
I do.
Rich does, yeah. but specifically for me, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, you and Rich. Okay. I mean, anybody in the show. I think didn't it's know just, that it's you just... actually read stuff from listeners like that.
No, I do. You can, to get to Rich, you can go at Toucher and Rich on Twitter. And for me, it's Toucher.
Right. I do that.
Toucher at 985thesportshub.com.
And you do the same thing. You can do the same thing now too. I mean, like Rich at 985thesportshub.com is my email address as well.
Yeah, but good luck good luck getting him to read one of your emails.
I'm going to send an audio link, and then you'll have to listen to it.
He's got he's got 5,000 unopened emails, maybe more.
Let me think. How many do I have?
So tweet at him. He's constantly on Twitter.
Over 3,000, I'm betting.
If you had to guess what my, you know how like on phones it's got the number on top of like,
it can't show the number. There's not enough room.
I'm going to say 11,000.
There's not enough room on your phone to show the number.
John, you guess 11,000?
11,000.
Higher. Brad, would you like to guess?
13,000.
Higher.
20.
I feel like this is the colon blow commercial.
20,000.
Not even close. The answer? 201,590.
Oh, all right. So my advice to everyone is...
Don't email Rich.
Don't email Rich.
No, I see them all. I just don't delete anything. And I don't open, like, you know...
Well, that means those are unopened.
Yes. Yeah. The 201, the 200,000, whatever it was, emails, you haven't opened any of
them. But Rich is always on Twitter, so go to at Toucher and Rich to get to Rich.
Yeah, like I'm on a whole bunch of, like, mailing lists for stores and
but
stuff like
that. Wouldn't
you
prefer that people tweet you? Is it far more likely?
Unless it's a file. Twitter would be better. You could direct message the at Toucher and Rich. But if you do have an audio file, hell yeah, email it to me.
Yeah, and you're most likely going to get me Toucher at 98.5 The Sports Up. I don't really read the Instagram comments sometimes. All right.
Dan Roach just tweeted. I tweeted that photo and he goes, "This picture's awesome. Saw Thornton during the game. He jokingly put me in a sleeper hold. I thought it was working. Thank God he let go. It made me think of how much I missed having him around."
There's nothing worse than when someone who's really, really strong thinks they're being a silly goose.
Well, you said that Jaffe did that to you one time, right?
Jaffe does it all the time, and he acts like he doesn't know what he's doing, and he does.
He probably punched you in the chest or something like that when you were fooling around?
Oh, like he'll like hug you and then like, you know, squeeze you as hard as he can, or he'll like punch your arm.
Right.
You're like, dude, you're 50. Leave me alone. Like, you're genetically made like that.
You don't know how strong you are.
Like, he claims to not even lift weights, which means that it's completely genetic.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
That's really annoying, actually.
Yeah, he says he just does Orange Theory.
How old's Jaffe now?
50.
He's just a natural-born beefcake?
Jesus. I mean, genetically, I mean, you're predisposed to a certain body type. I mean, it's a fact.
Natural-born beefcake? NBB? NBB?
That's a whole subgenre of gay porn.
Yep.
It's natural born beefcake. No calf implants here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rich, what will we talk about?
Oh, we have some Sylvester Stallone and Dolph Lundgren news, and who doesn't love that? On top of that, we've got some information. There is one quarterback that is being predicted by many experts to completely regress this year, and their justification, somewhat convincing.
Okay, I heard a story. Was there a Rocky where Rocky fought a boxer in real life, like a real boxer?
Well, Tommy Morrison,
Rocky V.
It was a guy who beat Roy Jones Jr.
That's Tommy Morrison. I don't know if he beat Roy Jones.
No. Morrison was a heavyweight, right?
Right.
Yes.
This guy was not. He beat Roy Jones Jr. And he was either Dolph Lundgren or Sylvester Stallone who said, "Really fight me." Like, really. I think it was Dolph Lundgren who said to Sylvester Stallone to really hit him. But apparently Sylvester Stallone was fighting this guy in one of the Rocky movies, and the guy clipped him and hit his heart.
Well, that was Lundgren. That's the story.
Okay, yeah.
Lundgren hit him and put Rocky in a hospital.
Yeah, I have the story here. Yeah. We could do that next, or we could, or you just tell it now, John?
No. Oh, I didn't know the story.
No, I don't mind it. Just, you know the story, but I mean, do you want to finish telling it?
No, that's all I know. Okay. If there's more to it, that's all I know. Lundgren hit Stallone over the heart and put him in a hospital.
He hit him so hard that it almost stopped his heart.
Yeah, like he was like, they equated it to being in a car wreck.
Yes.
Yeah, he said, why don't we just do it? Just try to knock me out. Just really cut loose as hard as you can. He goes, it was a really stupid thing to say.
Yeah, because Lundgren's like this, he's a master of this specific kind of martial art that's specific to like where he grew up.
Yeah.
So I heard that story back like in November on a podcast.
Yeah, he told it recently. He's doing like some, he's in Cannes right now promoting Rambo 5 Last Blood, which I'm sure the Cannes audience is just going to be sipping their Pinot.
He couldn't move in the last one.
He's 70, right?
Well, that's why you have to see it.
Oh, no, I'm going to see it.
Rambo 5 Last Blood is going to be amazing. And he's like a cowboy in it, too. It's an American thing.
Oh, yeah, because he needs something to ride on. Because he certainly can't run.
Something to move him around just so there's a little bit of physical activity.
I mean, the guy's 70. He's probably taking like testosterone like back in the day when it was like horse testosterone. I mean, when we met him over 10 years ago, I mean, like he couldn't shake your hand.
He's one of the few people I've been starstruck by. I usually don't get starstruck by a lot of people. He's one of like the five.
Yeah, it's weird. It was weird seeing him. And they're never as big as you thought they'd be. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what do we have in the stack?
I forgot to tell you. So speaking of boxing, I was supposed to... This July for a weekend, I was going to meet my friends and we were going to go out to Vegas because Ozzy was going to do one of his last tours and he was with Zach and I'm a big fan of Ozzy Osbourne. I know he's been very sick lately and I'm like, well, you know, maybe this will be the last time, unfortunately, that we'll get to see him. And then he got out of bed to go pee a couple months ago, tripped and fell and completely injured himself. So he had to cancel all that tour. So we've got this trip booked for Las Vegas and I was like, well, what else is going on that weekend? So now it looks like we're going to go see the Manny Pacquiao fight at the MGM, which at first I was like, oh, Pacquiao. But I asked my friend who I guess, you know, he's a boxing instructor. He's the one of the guys who worked with Sean Thornton. And he said, all right, whatever about Pacquiao, that card is apparently one of the most like stacked cards in a while. And I guess the dude who's fighting Manny Pacquiao is somewhat of a badass. So I think expectations of Pacquiao is going to get murdered inside the ring, but they say that the actual card's going to be pretty good. I just wish I was going to be there for when what's-his-name was going to fight again. Who's the Deontay Wilder? And I guess that's not until September that they're saying he's going
to
come back.
He's supposed to fight Anthony Joshua, but instead he's going to have a rematch. I think it's Ortiz that he's fighting. I mean, everyone wants Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua, two undefeated heavyweights. And Fred, we were talking how Wilder's 41-0-1 with 40 knockouts. Somebody, thank God, a heavyweight who's an American that you can finally sell against someone not from America. I mean,
who's undefeated?
Who's undefeated? I mean, two undefeated fighters, God forbid. And Wilder just came out yesterday and said he's not going to fight Anthony Joshua. He's fighting somebody else.
I didn't realize he was as old as he is. Like, yeah. Deontay Wilder's like, what, like 33 or something?
33, 34. Yeah.
So for being a, you know, a guy who's taken that many hits, you know, you wonder how much longer this is going to last. Fighters for now, he's fun as hell to watch.
I know, but fighters go a lot further than they used to.
Yeah, and so also, I mean, his fights are kind of close together if he's fighting in September. But the, that's the thing about boxing is that they just won't fight. I mean, there's no incentive to do it. So
there's so many titles out there and so many different ways to promote the NABF, whatever, the WBO, IBF, whatever the case may be. And that was how it was explained to me, why unify things and take away cash from a lot of other guys who could make more if they had some belt or another. You know, if you can sell the public that this is worth a title of some kind, then you can make more money than if you don't. So it's more profitable for all of these guys, you know, even though they'd make the real big money if they unified the damn thing to keep these guys dancing around each other. But I don't know. I mean, if for boxing fans, it's frustrating as hell.
Well, this is one of the first times in a while I've started to feel that the UFC buzz is going away and now more people are talking about boxing. Because, I mean, now that you, I mean, Conor McGregor's out of it, there's been such a blank show over the last 2 years regarding the UFC.
Conor McGregor has been away for a while. I can understand
Diaz isn't fighting right now. So it's like, there's no guys that you can like sink your teeth into, superstars. And you got guys like Deontay Wilder, you got Golovkin, and all these like people who are becoming
Canelo,
names. Canelo.
Yeah.
And it's starting to feel that boxing might be back.
At least you can like understand what people are saying when they're talking about boxing. I find it maddening to listen to any martial arts talk.
But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Just watch the fights. That's my whole thing.
It's another guy kicking another guy's ass. I mean, go on YouTube and watch like street fights.
Oh, not like this. Like if you've got a guy who's like really, really good at it. Like, I mean, someone who like...
Yeah, but then you have to hear them talk about why.
Which is even better when it's that dude like, what's his name? The guy who said my balls were hot. That's why he had to take his pants off.
The big guy. No. Yeah. Well,
that's good.
Well, you can't compare
balls
him.
Was hot.
That's like saying...
Big fat guy. Yeah.
What's that guy's name? God,
I don't know.
That dude.
I don't know.
No, that's like going... Say I saw Kenny Chesnut, and it was like John Lennon showed up. No, this guy is the John Lennon of MMA.
Yes, he is right now.
No, but I find it infuriating when people start talking about martial arts. Well, this guy was a Sumi Booby Booby.
Derek Lewis. I'm sorry, Derek Lewis is his name. Of course, that dude was the best.
And this guy, you know, came from a area of Germany where they practice kabab boo boo boo. Which was, there's a lot of leg kicks.
You Google Derek Lewis, hot balls is the first thing that comes up.
Well, that's ripped directly from the pages of one Rock and Roll Mike.
That's right. He does like hot balls. I forgot about that. That was his hit song, wasn't it?
Well, he's in the lab with it.
All right. Well, there is a weatherman in Ohio who is sick of you complaining. This, by the way, is another reason why people just need to stay off social media. So there's this guy who breaks into the middle of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, rather, because there are tornadoes that are landing in Ohio, all right? As a matter of fact, it was so bad that 35 people were injured, and it killed at least one person. So here's this Ohio weatherman going on TV, and he continues to see people on social media saying, hey, shut up, I'm trying to watch The Bachelorette, and he snaps.
You're up. I don't know what's going on.
Dan, am I up in there, buddy?
It's also rainy. I was just checking social media. We have viewers complaining already. Just go back to the show. No, we're not going back to the show, folks. This is a dangerous situation, okay? It's nice, right? Think about this. This was your neighborhood. I'm sick and tired of people complaining about this. Our job here is to keep people safe, and that is what we're going to do. Some of you complain that this is all about my ego. Stop, okay? Just stop right now. It's not. I'm done with you people. I really am. This is pathetic. Dangerous situation here. All right, I'm sorry I did that. It just really bothers me that we have people that don't care about other people's safety around here. That's just ridiculous. New tornado warning here. Oh, that's the same one we had. That's headed towards central and southern Mercer County. That's till 9:45.
Okay. Too a little pouty after that.
Yeah, I mean, he was spending a lot of time not talking about the hurricane.
I'm just exhausted by all of you.
He was supposed to be talking about the hurricane.
Yeah, weatherman.
Or the tornadoes. Instead, he was just talking about how he was pissed.
Weatherman, it feels kind of warm outside. What can I do to cool myself down?
Derek, why'd you take your pants off? My balls was hot.
Thank you, Derek.
That's a guy you can sell.
Hey, David. listen, I've got to warn you, a tornado's coming.
Thanks.
Pasternak right on it.
What are you going to do in the basement while you wait for the tornado to go by? What are you going to play?
Pasta.
No, that's what you're going to eat.
Oh, what's he going to play? Oh, yeah. He's going to play
Monopoly.
Monopoly.
By the way, when we thought that the game he was playing and that he compared to Monopoly was a socialist version, that's absolutely true. It's like it's from Czechoslovakia. It's pre democracy Czechoslovakia.
Monopoly.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Mm.
Pasta Bolognese.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Derek Lewis, what do you think about all of that? You go.
No, one of the short fat guys came and told me I got to put my shorts back on.
Whoever the short fat guy was, I'm quite sure who it is. I mean, Derek Lewis was the best. That guy, like, you know, he knocked out that dude with a one punch. He's just fat. He doesn't even like working out.
I know he ain't had a good cardio. My cardio ain't all that good, but I know it's better than his.
What's this guy's name?
Derek Lewis.
I want to find out what his next fight is.
Oh, no. I think he's done.
No. They made Derek Lewis fight like 2 months after that one.
I think even shorter than that. I think they made him fight like 3 weeks after that.
Next week or sometime or 2 weeks from now, I'm going to come on your show and smoke some weed with you.
It's the worker. That's the, you know, if you're a fighter, that's the kind of diet that you're on. Smoking that weed.
Well, listen, the dude from Tesla did it on the Rogan podcast. All right.
I thought you were talking about Frank Hannon, the guitarist from, you know, Signs and, you know, the great radio controversy and Love Song. That's a Tesla reference.
I understand. I know.
I've listened to my Heritage lately.
Čestitke Deriku Lewisu, UFC manje od dvije godine. Evo, još jedan nokaut večeras.
No, I'm like English. Go ahead. What do you say?
No awful English. What do you say?
Right. Thanks.
All right.
I just know I had a bigger heart than him. You know, he called himself a man, but he like put his hands on women. So forget that guy. I got much, much more heart than he has. You know, what Ronda Rousey's fine ass at?
Where's Ronda Rousey's fine ass at?
Yeah.
Finance or fiance?
Fine ass.
Oh, fine ass.
Yeah,
okay.
That was the guy who, like, apparently beat up Ronda Rousey. And then he was like, yeah, you know, you beat up women. I want to know what Ronda Rousey's fine ass is at.
Well, listen, it's a collection of Mensa members there. You can take your MMA.
Oh, you know, the style.
They need stars. And I guess Diaz is fighting in a couple months. Now, he's one guy I can get behind. I like Nate Diaz because Nate Diaz is just like, he's dumb as a pile of bricks, but that dude kills.
That's one guy. I mean, boxing legit has a few people you can actually look at.
Connor missed out. Connor versus Diaz again. I would have loved to have seen that.
Oh, you don't know which region of the world that they're from and what their style is.
Ah.
That's what you need to hear about for half an hour. And just really bore the hell out of yourself. At least boxing, you can understand hit.
Yeah. Overhand right, uppercut.
Yes, I understand.
Straight left.
Yes. Wearing them down, why body shots work. All right, we'll be right back. We'll find out what Zolik and Bertrand have.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. If anyone knows what a controller does in a business, let us know. Because Nick is coming insisting that Rich is to meet with the controller.
And I'm like, what's a controller?
Of Beasley Media. Dan, do you know what a controller is?
Yes.
Okay, I
what's
don't.
A controller do?
Controller does everything financially, all the money, everything comes in and out. Responsible for
overseeing payroll, HR, all that. It's
someone's
big.
In trouble. Well, my yeah, apologies, Nick. Well, it looks big. Like someone has been bilking the system.
They want money from you, Rich.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they're not giving you money, I'll tell
he's
you that.
Well, in another way, he's usually the last guy that you see before you get walked out to the door. So,
better get the box ready.
The Grim Reaper. He's not sometimes a good person to see at the end of a shift.
Oh.
I don't think that's the case here, Rich.
We'll see. I mean, you can only cheat on taxes so many times before you get caught. All right, Zolak and Bertrand are broadcasting from the Star Market broadcast booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. Hello,
hello. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, how you doing?
All right, so this is at a bar that you're broadcasting from?
Yeah, this is the same spot we were at on Monday. We were outside on Monday. A little chillier today. I'd say it's a solid 20-degree difference. So yeah, we're going to be inside the Boston Sports Grill today. But it's nice. Good spot. They're setting up the big fan fest out on Canal Street there. I don't know why they just didn't leave it up. You know, they've got to put up all these stages.
That's the question of the week.
Sets.
For me.
NHL Network TV sets and girders and I don't know. I guess they needed the street for the last day.
All right. What time do people come in and start drinking that appear to be going to the game?
I would leave now and start that.
Yeah, I have no idea. On Monday it was Memorial Day, so people were drinking like all day. Today,
That seems like a something that why'd you buy the ticket?
If you're we had people bellied up at the bar probably, I'd say 11 a.m. on Monday.
Yeah, there are people drinking a full, I would say, 9 hours before the puck dropped.
We had one gentleman was absolutely obliterated by 1:30. I don't know where he ended up that day, but I'll never forget him making the header for the tent. He was going to just flip over the whole broadcast.
I don't think that was booze. I think he had some other things going on.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
You think he found some sweet loophole?
Dude, he full, walking straight forward, walked right in one of those cement poles.
Well, he was a zombie. He's got some.
You're thinking an opiate situation. With that.
Thank you, Fred. Thank
all right. I get what you're going. Opiates.
Not a good time hockey fan, that guy.
Nah, he was out there.
Still traffic.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're on the air
I'm sorry.
Now. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. We're talking with Fred.
There's some issues getting down here today.
Now?
Oh.
There was issues.
Hardy took the train.
I did take the train.
Smart to look ahead.
Awesome.
I really don't have the option to take the train.
Environmentally sound there, Hardy. I'm proud of you.
I don't even know how to take it.
I left my house at 8:25. I was down here by 9:20, I think.
Well, Beto lives by work. He left over an hour ago, and he's still not here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, at least you get the broadcast from a bar and not some cage.
Go Beast.
Correct.
That's right, Bubby.
Hey, who you liking the game tonight? What do you think's going to happen?
I'll tell you what. I've done the analyzing, and you know what?
Yeah.
It's a coin flip as far as I'm concerned, Jack. But here's hoping the home team can take it.
I think it comes down to goaltending.
Or you can be like the guy from Carolina and say it comes down to who scores the most goals.
Thanks.
That's right. That too.
We should have kept him on more of that. All right. Listen. You guys enjoy yourselves. Rich is going to go take care of his financial business with a controller.
Which I'm just now learning what a controller is.
Yeah, I didn't know it. I was making fun of Nick about it, and there you go. I didn't know. Leave it to Dan. Dan knows what's going on around here. Enjoy the game tonight. Everyone have a wonderful evening, and we will have everything from the game, including recaps coming up tomorrow. Bye.
Monopoly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.